I'm resting on the reality that repetition is the key to learning. And we're learning about growing in grace. So we're going to pray, read this text tonight, and then you can be seated. We're going to talk a little bit more about grace tonight. Father in heaven, thank you for the day. We are so grateful for the amazing weather you've given us. We do pray for our neighbors on the other side of the state who have been dealing with fires and in neighboring states. God, please just help those families who have lost so much and continue to protect through the rest of this week, Lord, as there's more danger in that. But Father, we know that you are in control of all things. We trust in you. We rest in you. We pray for healing for our brothers and sisters who are sick and hurting. Just continue, especially tonight, to lift up Sister Vicky. God, please help her heal her, especially her breathing, her lungs, and give her strength. And I know there are many other needs, but we just ask for you'll help us, Lord. We can't do anything without you, but we can do all things through Christ. And so I pray you help us to endure the hardships that we face. And please speak to our hearts tonight through your word. Help us to just realize your grace more now than ever before and to live in and to grow in that grace and in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We pray these things in his name. Amen. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, starts with the word, but. This means that it's setting what he's about to say in verse 18 with what he just said. So I want you to take just a second and look back at verses 16 and 17. And in verse 16, he says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest or twist, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So he's wrapping up his warning against these false teachers, people who twist the scriptures of not just the Old Testament scriptures, but the scriptures written by the Apostle Paul, the scriptures written here by Peter and other apostles. And he's saying, these people are twisting the scripture and you watch out. Beware so you don't fall from your own steadfastness. But, that's verse 18. Do you get the tie-in? So these people who would twist the scriptures and cause you to fall from your own steadfastness, he's warning you and saying, but you don't be like that. Amen. But instead of being twisted, instead of twisting the scriptures, instead of being deceived and led astray, you instead, verse 18, you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you've got to grow. And this word grow here, it has the idea of to grow and keep on growing. It's a present participle. It means that it's a continuing action. It's not like I started one time, I grew when I was little, and I stopped growing. Okay? We're talking about something different. We're not talking about physical maturity. We're talking about spiritual maturity. And you grow and you keep on growing until Jesus comes. And so, but instead of being like that, instead, you keep on growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want you to get this. There's a special word for it in Greek, learning the language. But just know this, this conjunction when it puts Lord and Savior together, it's calling Jesus both of these things. It's one and the same. He is both Lord and Savior. You know, sometimes and can separate things. It's this and that. But in this case, it's tying them together. And Jesus is Lord. That means he is God. He is Lord of all. And he is Savior because there is no other Savior. And so we're growing in grace, but it's not just any grace. It's not just general grace. It's not just general kindness or benefaction or good things. It's the grace of the Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And then notice that doxology at the end. But to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And he can get glory now and forever because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And though he died on the cross, he rose again. And though he ascended into heaven, he is still there sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he is ruling and reigning until all of his enemies be put under his feet. And then he's going to come again. And so glory to him now and forever. All glory be to Christ. to the Christ, the Savior of the world. So what are we talking about when we're talking about growing in grace? And I tried to kind of introduce this thought last time because in my mind, I told you, I get the idea of growing in knowledge. Like, we do that our whole lives, right? When we're very small, we learn things as we're growing, right? Amen. I mean, when your kids are really small, you're teaching them stuff, don't you? Amen. I mean, you remember teaching them their colors when they're really little? Or teaching them how to count? Or teaching them how to say words? Or when you're a dad working really hard so their first word is dada. Amen. You remember that? Because I do. Dad, dad. No, not my mom. No, dad, dad. Dad, dad, right? Works so hard. We teach them all kinds of things. We help them to learn how to walk. We help them to learn to tie their shoes eventually. You know, sometime before they graduate high school. We teach them, we help them with their school, their homework. We teach them how to drive a vehicle. We teach them so many things. And we get the idea of growing in knowledge because all of you, every day, I hope you're trying to learn something, right? Like, we understand that knowledge increases, knowledge grows. And you go to elementary school, and you go to high school, and maybe you go to college, or maybe you learn things on the job, but we're always learning things. And we understand growing in knowledge, but grace is a little trickier to me because grace is, it's like, that's what God gives you. Like, it's just grace. Amen. How do you keep growing in grace? Because, like, it's just, he gives it. So how do you grow in that? And so we want to explore that a little deeper tonight, I hope. So what is grace? What are the biblical principles that we want to understand about grace? Well, first of all, we need to remember that grace is God's free favor. Amen. Grace is God's free favor. Grace originates entirely in who God is. Like, grace, we get grace because God is good. Amen. So grace is when he gives us his goodness. It is his blessing. It's his beneficence to us. And so when we get it, it's just because that's who he is. It's certainly not because we earn it or we deserve it, because that wouldn't be grace, okay? And we have kind of a prevailing attitude in the world today that we think that we deserve grace. We think we deserve good things. But I just want you to understand that the goodness in this world is because God is good. Amen. It's because God is good. This world is cursed. Amen. We're a sin-cursed people. And Isaiah got it when he saw God high and lifted up on his throne. Woe unto me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. What's he saying? I'm wicked, and everybody I live with on planet Earth, we're all wicked. Amen. And so the point is that when we look at grace, we understand that it's God's free favor. It starts with him. It's not our worthiness. It's not our effort. It's not because we're seeking him. It's just because he's good. And remember this, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. That's grace. That's love. How about this? You guys remember Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, right? Amen. Let's put it on the screen too. It's good. I love it. Yeah, somebody had to step up because Nelson's on a work trip. Right? Okay. For by grace, Ephesians 2, 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Amen. And I spent a lot of time a couple years ago really studying this out because I want to know what it is. I wish so badly, you young people who are still in school, pay attention, please. Some of you hate language arts, you hate English. Pay attention in language arts and English because you need it to understand the word of God. Which, by the way, is the whole reason schools got started in our country. They began in churches. That's where Sunday school got started, because there were men who understood that we want our children in this nation to know how to read and understand the Bible on their own. Okay, that's where it all got started. We got a kind of big mess now, but just know that's where it began. And you need to learn English. You need to learn your language arts and pay attention, because it's going to help you understand the word of God. So I wanted to know, what does it refer back to, right? It is the gift of God. What's the gift of God? Grace? Salvation? Faith? And this has been debated for a couple thousand years, and people have been landing in different places because the nuance of that kind of bends towards certain theological understandings. But I want to tell you, I'm convinced that it's all of the above. Amen. Amen. It's all a gift of God. Is grace a gift? Amen. Well, yeah, it's a gift because it's not earned. It's a gift. Is faith a gift? Amen. Or do we just have faith in and of ourselves? No, we know it's a gift of God. We know it is a fruit of the Spirit. It comes from God. Faith is of God. And of course, salvation is a gift. Salvation isn't earned. And so it's all the gift of God. All of this, because God is good. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Next verse says, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I'm going to tell you, I got a friend, hadn't seen in a long time. You ever had one of those times? I mentioned this when we were driving in Oklahoma City the other day, and I started talking about my old friend PJ from Bragg's, and the next day, out of the blue, he texted me. I haven't texted with him since New Year's, and I just talked about him. I guess his ears were burning because he texted me. But man, I want to tell you, PJ growing up was an atheist. And when I was out of high school and I was trying to witness to him, me and my cousin and my brother-in-law and different ones in the church, man, we preached the gospel to him hard, and he wanted nothing to do with it. You see, PJ's brilliant. He's just a wicked smart guy, and he didn't get it. But since everything's happened the last several years, as a matter of fact, I would just contribute it to what happened with COVID, caused him to start listening to different Christians online, and it turned him to belief in God.
Amen.
So God sent COVID so my friend PJ would believe in God. And if that's what it took, then okay, I'll take it.
Amen.
But PJ was studying in Matthew, and he texted me because he was asking about this verse. Because if you read in Matthew, sometimes Jesus says some things, and it's like he says the righteous will inherit eternal life. And when you read that just on the surface, it's like, well, those who do righteous things inherit eternal life. So it's by works. But is that what Jesus is teaching? No. What Jesus is teaching is that when you believe in him, he makes you righteous.
Amen.
It's not those who do righteous things, but the righteous, those who have righteousness. And do we have righteousness on our own? Our righteousnesses are as and we all know that, right?
Amen.
So it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody's going to get to heaven one day and say, I'm here. I earned it. I made it. Look at what I did. Nobody's going to do that. But I want you to look at verse 10, because too many times we skip it. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
Amen.
We don't work to get saved. We work because we are saved.
Amen.
Which God has before ordained that we should walk in him. He has created us for good works, but this grace, salvation, faith, it is all the gift of God. So grace is God's free favor. Number two, grace saves and justifies the ungodly. Grace doesn't just help sinners get better. It doesn't help us turn over a new leaf. Grace doesn't just help us to improve our life here and now. Grace brings forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
Grace redeems the sinner back to God. Grace gives us righteousness before God through Jesus Christ. Because we know this, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You guys remember that one? But look at verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We're justified by grace. We know we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but justification is free to us by grace. So we are justified, we are saved by grace. And I think everybody in the room understands that. I think you guys all know that none of us are saved because we're so good or we earned it, but it's God freely giving us justification. But guys, remember justification, that's you get to stand with a right standing before God. And I don't know that that can sink in enough. I mean, it doesn't take me just a few minutes of thinking about my past and things that I've done before I was saved and after I was saved to know that I do not deserve to stand with a right standing before God. But he's taken away my sin. He's made me just in the eyes of God. And I have a right standing just as if I'd never sinned, just as if I'd been as righteous as Jesus. I stand before him. So grace saves and justifies the ungodly. Number three, grace teaches and transforms us. Grace teaches and transforms us. Grace Grace is not a free pass to stay the same.
Amen.
Everybody get that? It actively instructs us in righteous living,
Amen.
In holiness,
Amen.
And in godliness. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and verse 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Look at verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What is it that's teaching us? The grace of God. The grace of God that he's made known to everybody. How did he do that? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me.
Amen.
When Jesus of Nazareth died on the cross and rose again the third day, it wasn't done in a corner. Everybody knew about it.
Amen.
Everyone had heard about the death and resurrection of Jesus. The whole world knew.
Right.
The Christians went out into the whole world and they turned the world upside down
Amen.
With the gospel of Jesus Christ and the
Amen.
Power of the Holy Spirit. And so he made it known, and his grace teaches us not just it doesn't just give us salvation, the grace of God that gives us or brings us salvation, but it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly with right minds, we should live righteously doing right things, and godly in a devotion to God in this present world. So grace doesn't leave us like it found us.
Amen.
But it doesn't just change our eternal destination, it changes the way we live. Grace,
Amen.
Listen, grace never excuses sin.
Right.
If what somebody's calling grace leaves them unchanged, then it's not scriptural grace.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I want to be really careful here because we're so quick to divide and separate and get into different camps. And I don't really want to be in anybody's camp but Jesus's camp. Like, I just want to be in the scripture. I just want to be with Jesus.
Amen.
But it's really easy to do that. It's really easy to hear somebody say something, get a little sound bite, and then label them and say, they're this and I'm this. So I don't want to do that. But I do want to warn you that there are some people who would cross over into what I would call hyper-grace. And hyper-grace would be this. It doesn't matter what I do, the grace of God is on me, and I can live however I want to live. Well, that's not biblical grace. Is it?
No,
because grace teaches me that I should deny worldly lust, that I should deny fleshly things. The grace that brought me salvation teaches me to live godly and righteously and soberly in this present world. At the same time, though, you can't deny this reality. His grace is hyper. His grace is huge. His grace is greater. Is his grace not greater than all our sin?
Amen.
Where sin abounded, did grace not much more abound?
Amen.
So I don't want to get too far in either ditch, right? Because I don't want to abuse grace by saying I can just do whatever I want to because he's forgiven me. Well, that's not right. And I don't think the Spirit of God would ever lead you that direction anyway.
Amen.
But on the other hand, I want you to know this. If you mess up, his grace is enough. Like, he's not done with you.
Amen.
You're not garbage. He's not going to throw you away. He loves you. He gave himself for you. And just because you fail, just because you fall, just because you stumble, doesn't mean that he doesn't have any more grace for you.
Amen.
No, his grace is enough. You guys understand why I struggle with the balance there? Because I don't want to preach grace in a way that emboldens somebody to sin. But I don't also want to preach against that to the point that I cause anyone to despair. Neither one of those is good. So if you sin, remember his grace is enough. He'll pick you back up again. But don't go run into sin.
Amen.
His grace teaches us and it transforms us.
Amen.
I think some people just misunderstand grace as leniency. We understand what happens in a society when judgment and justice isn't swift. And when evildoers aren't punished swiftly, then they just run rampant. Right? Like, I don't want to pick on California. They're just an easy target. But any one of you could get in your car and drive to California tonight. Tomorrow, you could walk into any store in California, and you can steal up to $999 worth of merchandise, and they will not do anything. So you just go in, load up. Be careful that you don't get over $1,000. Not that it would, like, nobody in the store is counting anyway, but you just load it up, push it out, load it up in your car, and go to the next store. And people are doing that hand over fist. They're stealing from stores. To the point that stores have to bar up every door in their store. And then they have to close the store. Right? Okay. You guys understand what I'm saying? If you just allow people to steal and you don't stop that, then they're going to do more and more.
Amen.
Well, that works on every level, doesn't it?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Melissa and I tried really hard not to be counting parents. No idea what I'm talking about, do you? You've heard them in the store. If I count to three, I've never heard a mom count so slow in my life. If I get to three, you're going to be in trouble. One, two, and I'm over there like, three, say three. You can't do it, I'll do it for you. We tried really hard not to be like that. Like, do what you're told. Do it when you're told, and do it with a smile on your face. Right?
Amen.
And quit that crying, or I'll give you something to cry about. Listen, I'm not saying our way was the right way. I'm just saying. But when a child is never, if they never meet the consequences for wrong actions, what does that do? Well, they're emboldened to continue in wrong actions. And I'll tell you this, y'all might think I'm mean, but I'm telling you this, the world has no grace. There's no grace in the world system. There's no grace with the devil. He's here to kill, steal, and destroy. So there's no grace. Even if it looks like grace, it's not real grace. Man, that was good. That was all for free. It wasn't even in my notes. That's dangerous. Grace teaches us and transforms us. People think grace, they misunderstand it as leniency, but the scripture teaches a different story. Grace trains us.
Amen.
In holiness.
Amen.
Okay, number four, grace empowers obedience and endurance.
Amen.
Grace empowers obedience and endurance. Grace supplies strength for faithful labor and perseverance. 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me.
Amen.
Man, Paul does an awesome job of bragging on himself without bragging on himself, right? I mean, I remember, like, the first time I read this paying attention, I'm like, dude, think much of yourself? Like, you're kind of thinking he's really big-headed until you read the last part of the verse, right? I labored more abundantly than everybody. When Jesus gave me grace, he didn't waste it on me like he did those other chumps. I mean, that's what it sounds like, right? Like, I worked harder than everybody else. But he's quick to say, not me. It wasn't me. It was his grace. It was his grace. Grace empowers us to be obedient to him. Grace empowers us to do the work. Grace empowers us to keep on keeping on.
Amen.
Grace empowers us to keep serving Jesus when we're tired and want to quit.
Right.
Grace helps us to do the work that he's called us to do, and it helps us to persevere. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, you remember Paul had the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him, and he asked the Lord three times to take it away, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee.
Amen.
Now, there's a lot of speculation on what that thorn was. People think it was that he was going blind. Some people think it was actually a person, like somebody who was in the church that was oppressing him, a messenger literally from Satan. Maybe it was some other physical element. We don't really know exactly what it was. All I know is it bothered him enough that he said, Lord, please take it away. Lord, please take it away. Lord, please take it away. And the Lord said, no, I'm not taking it away. I'm not going to take it away because in your weakness, you get my strength.
Amen.
So that's the grace of God. My grace is sufficient for thee. And remember what he said. What he said, you're going to be weak, but I'm going to be strong in you.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So that's the grace of God is the strength to endure. Everybody's going to face some hard times.
Amen.
Now, it might be mental and emotional. It might be physical. It might be spiritual. It might be financial. You guys with me? Like,
Amen.
All of the olds, it could be all the things.
Amen.
And by the way, it's usually not one thing. When you suffer, look to Jesus because he is strong. And he might not take away the thorn. He might not stop the wind and the waves in the storm.
Amen.
But he will be with you.
Amen.
And he'll give you his strength.
Amen.
So, grace empowers obedience and endurance. Number five. Grace can be resisted or neglected. Grace can be resisted or neglected. Now, when I put that in my notes, it sounds kind of crazy. And so you stop and think about it for half a second. Have you ever resisted the grace of God? Like God's trying to do good and you're like, nah. I'm really content with my sin right now. I don't want grace. Have you ever neglected grace? In other words, God just had grace right there in front of you, ready for you to take, ready for you to partake of and enjoy, and you're like, no thanks. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, he says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain.
Amen.
Receive not the grace of God in vain. I'm going to tell you this. I believe that you and I, any believer on the planet, can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that we can live with joy no matter what our circumstances are. I believe that we can walk in love even when we're hated. I believe that we can have peace in our hearts that passes understanding no matter what's going on anywhere in our lives.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
That's grace, right? I believe that we can live that way, but we don't. So what does that mean? That means in some level I'm resisting or neglecting the grace of God that he has available. I'm not partaking of the peace. I've received his grace in vain because I'm not growing in it. I'm not appreciating it. I'm not appropriating it in my day-to-day life. Don't resist his grace. Don't resist his grace. And remember this, number six, grace is applied by the Holy Spirit. Grace is applied by the Holy Spirit. This is the work of his Spirit.
Amen.
And we cannot be like those who despise the Spirit of grace. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29. Hebrews 10, 29. There's some pretty deep theology here, so we'll see how deep we dive. But he says, of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Okay, so what does that mean? It means that the Spirit of God has offered grace and he did that through Jesus who died for our sins.
Amen.
But when you reject Jesus, you are despising, you're doing despite unto the Spirit of grace. And so he did the work, and he's offering through the Spirit to give you that grace. But when you reject it, you're basically stomping on Jesus. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Now, I got brothers who will debate with me on this, and I look forward to it when I hear about it later. But this is somebody who is never born again. You stomp on Jesus, you weren't ever saved. You despise the Spirit of God. It's not that you got saved and then you lost it. No, you never trusted in him.
Amen.
The Spirit gives grace.
Yeah.
And if we're going to if we're going to grow in grace, we have to know grace, we have to receive grace, we have to live out grace by the Spirit's working in our lives. Which means, friends, I can't resist the Spirit, I can't grieve the Spirit, I can't quench the Spirit, but I have to submit to the Spirit. And when I submit to Him, I get filled with Him. Number seven, grace is not finished yet.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Peter 1, 13. Grace is not finished yet. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. Grace is not finished yet. But when He comes, grace will be fulfilled.
Amen.
Grace starts with Jesus, and it's finished with Jesus. I think the gospel and grace go hand in hand. They're tied together. They can't be separated.
Amen.
In the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, He said that He would send the seed of the woman who would bruise the serpent's head, and the serpent would bruise his heel. That's the first gospel. That's grace. It started with the promise of Jesus, and it ends, it's fulfilled when Jesus comes again.
Amen.
So how are we going to do this? How are we going to grow in grace? Let me give you some practicalities real fast to end. You guys pay attention more when I say real fast, right? Number one, live humbly and dependently before God. God resists the proud but gives grace unto the humble. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So if I'm going to grow in grace, then I need to humble myself before God. I want to live humbly and dependently before God. Number two, return continually to the gospel.
Amen.
Return continually to the gospel. What does that mean? Think about Jesus. Think about Calvary. Think about the empty tomb. And don't just think about it on Sunday or on Easter, but think about it every single day.
Amen.
Listen, you ought to wake up every morning thankful for another day to live and move and have your being, but you ought to thank God every day that Jesus went to the cross for your sins.
Amen.
And if you're tired of hearing the gospel, there's something wrong in your heart, brother and sister.
Right.
We should never tire of hearing that old story.
Amen.
Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Go back to the gospel. Remember who you were without Him. Remember how He saved you, how He's redeemed you, how He set you free, and how you have life in Jesus today.
Amen.
Go back to the gospel regularly.
Amen.
Just remember the goodness of God. I hate it when I get complacent or apathetic or not thoughtful about the cross. And man, there's just sometimes it hits me. I don't know. Do you people think when you're driving? It seems like driving is one of those times when thinking happens. I see a lot of people on the road. I don't think they're thinking at all. But I got my moments too. There's just some days when I'm driving and it hits me. And I remember how good God is because He saved
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
Go back to the gospel. Number three, submit to grace's instruction. What do I mean? I mean that grace is teaching you.
Amen.
So listen. Listen. Listen to what grace is telling you. Grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Grace teaches us that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So grace is always teaching you. And of course, he teaches you through the Bible. And he teaches you through sermons. But he teaches you through life.
Amen.
When you pray and as you live and as you go through your life, grace is teaching you. So listen to the teacher. Isn't it awesome that God cares enough to teach you something? I think that we're spoiled brats in our country. We have so many opportunities that we squander. You understand that there are billions of people on this planet who would give anything to have the opportunities that we waste?
Amen.
I mean, we are so incredibly blessed. So many opportunities, so much freedom and liberty and opportunity for everybody in this country. And we squander them. And there are people in other places in the world with, like, if I could go to school, if I could learn from somebody, if I could go to church and learn from somebody, like if I could have an opportunity to be taught, I would soak it up.
Amen.
Well, God sent His grace to teach you, so listen. Take advantage. Soak it up. Submit to grace's instruction. Number four, rely on grace.
Amen.
Rely on grace, especially in weakness and suffering. Listen, when you are tired, when you are weary, when you are hurting, when you are suffering, you need to lean into the grace of God.
Amen.
Don't pull away from him. Lean into him. Rely on his grace. Number five, extend grace to others.
Amen.
You've been given grace.
Amen.
Freely you have received. Freely give.
Amen.
Man, God's been so gracious to us. Be quick to give grace to others. We're so quick to judge others. We're so quick to get angry at others. We're so quick just to be harsh. Just pull back a little bit and remember how God's been good to you.
Amen.
Forbearing one another, forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So let's give grace to others. Number six, fix your hope on future grace. I don't know who said it first. But somebody said present faithfulness flows from future certainty. Present faithfulness flows from future certainty. I know my Redeemer lives.
Amen.
And in my flesh, I will see God.
Right.
My Redeemer.
Amen.
I'll see him.
Amen.
And I ought to be faithful to him and live in his grace today because I know he's coming again. So fix your hope on the grace that's coming. Let's stand together. But grow in grace.
Amen.
Keep growing in grace. I hope something tonight will help you and encourage your heart. I'm thankful that you've been here, and I pray that if the Holy Spirit's convicting you, there's a decision you need to make for Jesus, you'll do that. I want to encourage you to keep praying one for another. Sister Vicky is on my heart a lot. She sent me a voicemail right before we started, and she's